Well, let's pray and open our hearts to God's word tonight. Father, I thank you for your grace, your goodness that's upon us tonight. And Father, I just pray that you would speak to us once again, Lord, that by your word that you would do a work in us. I pray, Father, that faith will rise in our hearts. Lord, that we would be strengthened in the inner man tonight. And Father, that we would go out in this world and shine bright for you as a light in a dark place. We give you the glory and the honor and the thanks for it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm going to share with you tonight a simple word. It's kind of long, so I'm going to go fast. I warned you, all right? Don't get an attitude. I said we're going to go fast, so that's not a bad thing. We can handle it. This is a Wednesday night crowd, right? All right, I'm going to talk to you tonight about the power of the word. Power of the word. I just want you to know I'm a word preacher. I'm not a storyteller. I'm not a jokester. I mean, I kind of wish I was, you know, from the time I was 8 until I was 12. That's what I wanted to be when I grew up. I wanted to be a comedian. Well, that didn't pan out. But I just got to tell you, God's word is what we need. I mean, every day of our life, it is what we need. And you know, the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. And we are new creatures in Christ. That's the power of God at work in us, that old things have passed away, all things have become new. That's a changed life. We're not supposed to be the same old people anymore. And you know, I really despise this religious attitude of the day that where Christians say, oh, I'm just like you, except I'm a Christian. What does that mean? Because when you're a Christian, you're totally different. You're a new creation in Christ. Now, I guess I do understand. We're trying to relate to people, you know. We're trying to say, hey, you know, you need Jesus. But we need to realize we're not just like everybody else with a little Jesus stamp on us. No, we are totally different. And I'm telling you that there is a power, the power of God, that makes us different. Certainly we would say to anybody, oh, on my own, I'm no different than anybody else. I'm not better than you, but it's God's power has changed my life, and I'm totally different. That's the way it's supposed to be. You know, in the last days, there's going to be people, the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, who deny the power thereof. They have a form of godliness, it says, but they deny the power thereof. And that's, you know, that's that very attitude that they're religious, but they don't really allow the power of God to work in their life. In fact, a lot of people just don't, you know, in our day and time, they don't even really believe that God's power, that God wants to work in people's lives. And I'm telling you tonight that power is available to us. There's no shortage of power. Amen? When we serve the Almighty God, there's certainly no shortage of power. He's not having a power outage, all right? But his power, listen, it works in those who believe. You got to believe. Jesus said that when we receive the Holy Spirit, that we receive power. I'm just telling you, power is available to us. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. The power of the Holy Spirit inside of you. But I want to just focus on this tonight, that there is another power, another part of God's power, that another way that we can tap into God's power every day. And that is the Word of God. The Word of God has an innate power in it. It can change your situation. It can change your life. Listen, it can change the circumstance. It can change the atmosphere. It can change the world. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is living and powerful. It's powerful. full of power, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the division of soul and spirit and the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. He tells us very plainly that his word is alive. It's not a dead book. It's not just words on a page. It is alive. Jesus said in John 6:63, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. They're alive. The word of God is actually alive. You need to know that. When you hear it, when you speak it, it's something that is living. It's more alive than you are. Because, listen, if the Lord tarries, you're going to die, but his word is going to live forever. It's alive and powerful. Alive and powerful. Psalm 33:6 says, by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made. And you know, the Bible gives us that truth several times, that it was by his word that everything came into being. Hebrews 11:3, by faith we understand the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Wasn't made by things which are visible. No, it was made by the word of his mouth. He spoke and it was. He said, let there be, and it was so. Let there be, and it was so. Let there be, and it was so. Listen, that's the account of Genesis, is God spoke it and it happened. And you need to understand, that's how powerful. How did all those billions of stars get out there? He spoke it and it was so. That's power. They talk about the power of the sun, the power of one star. How about the power that put them all into being? What was that power? It was his word. He just spoke it and it was so. That's real power. Now, I'm telling you tonight that if you need more power in your life as a Christian, look to the word of God. I'm telling you, it's alive and it's powerful. This right here is power that's available to you. Now, as a pastor, I want to tell you that, you know, sometimes you might pick up your Bible and you start reading and it's talking about the begets, who had who. And then you say, oh, well, I'm not getting much out of that right now. Now, it's in there for a reason, I'm going to tell you. But I'm just saying, sometimes you pick it up, you know, and you start reading in Ezekiel and all this weird stuff that's going to happen, and you're like, what is that? But I'm also going to tell you that you keep searching the scriptures, and God will speak to you through his word. He will give you the word you need. He'll give you a word that puts you over, a word that will give you the power you need to get to victory. Without the word of God, we end up with all kinds of misconceptions about God. I'm telling you, this is a big part of the problems with the religious culture of the day, is all these misconceptions about God. People just draw all kinds of conclusions on their own about who and what God is without, apart from the word of God. And I'm telling you, apart from the word of God, you can't really know him. You got to know the one true God, and you find out who he is through the word. But they get all kinds of misconceptions about God. When you don't really know the word, you're open to deception. You live in error. You lack power. Listen to what Jesus said to the religious people in Matthew 22:29. In the King James, it words it this way. It says, you are in error because you do not know the scriptures or the power of God. And I want you to know that the two, It's not a coincidence that he mentions those two things, the scriptures and the power of God, because when you know the scriptures, you get the power of God. I'm just saying, some people know the word and they don't have the power. Well, I'm going to clarify that later in this message, because you can certainly memorize scripture and you can even be a theologian and not have the power of God at work in you, but if you don't know the word, I'm telling you, you are missing out on God's power at work in your life. Isaiah 55:11, the Lord says, "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please. And it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it." See, he declares that his word is going to do what it's supposed to do. It has that power in it. It accomplishes what he pleases. See, his word is never empty. Do you know God doesn't talk to hear himself talk? You know, a lot of people, they just blab all the time. And some people, they talk literally just to hear themselves talk. They just like to talk. But the Lord only speaks for a purpose. See, he doesn't fodder, he doesn't mix up and trash out his words with a bunch of idle words. Isn't it amazing? Jesus said we're going to be held accountable for idle words. Not just bad words, idle words. For every idle word, you will give an account. That's what Jesus said. How many of you believe what Jesus says? Well, guess what? We're going to give an account for idle words. But God doesn't speak idle words. He speaks things on purpose because his words have power. Listen to what he said to a young Jeremiah who thought he was too young to be used of God. Jeremiah 1:9-10. "The Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, 'Behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have this day set you over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down, to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant.'" Now I want you to notice, this is not just something that, you know, power that God handed to Jeremiah arbitrarily that he could just go out and, you know, condemn and tear down and do whatever he pleased. No, he said, "I've put my word in your mouth. And when you speak my word, these things are going to happen." That's the power of the Word of God. I tell you, what we need in our life is God's Word. More of His Word working in us all the time. Power in the Word of God. You see it at work in people's lives. Psalms 107 and verse 20, "He sent His Word and He healed them and delivered them from their destructions." I'm telling you, the Word of God has the power in it to heal people. It has the power in it to deliver from destruction. What power? Has the power in it to bring faith. Now that's power. You know, there's power available to us. God's power is available to us, but most of the time, people struggle to believe. I'm just telling you, believing is the key. Now, I'm not going to preach much on faith tonight. We've got too much here to get through, but I'm just telling you, believing is the key. And a lot of people really struggle to believe. Remember what Jesus said to one man who said, "Lord, if you can do anything?" And Jesus says, "If you can believe." And that really is the way it is. You know, religious people, I'm talking about religion of man, all right? They always like to put the responsibility, the blame, back on God. We don't want any responsibility. No, Jesus said, if you can believe, that's the issue. And I'm telling you, we struggle sometimes to believe, but we don't have to because God's word has the power in it to bring faith to your heart. People that hear the word of God preached about healing, I tell you, the more that they hear it, the more that they'll believe that God will heal. People that hear that Jesus came to set the captives free, and they hear it again and again and again, the more they hear it, the more that they will be able to believe that Jesus can deliver from addiction. When we hear the word of Jesus, Jesus says in John 14:27, "My peace I give unto you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." And you see, we hear those words, but the more that we hear them, I'm just telling you, it can bring faith and cause you to believe so that in the worst of times you can say, I got peace. I'm not going to be troubled. I'm not going to let my heart be afraid. I got peace. Jesus gave me peace. And you just, you know what? You start believing it, and for a while, before long, you got peace. It's amazing how when you believe God's word, but I'm telling you that a lot of the time the issue is that we don't get enough of the word where we really believe it. See, it's one thing to just get a little dab here and there and hear something and you say, oh yeah, you can even say, you know, I've known that verse all my life. Well, it's about time you start believing that verse. We'll get to that in a minute, but I'm just going to keep going, all right? His word brings faith. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, sometimes when you hear it just once, you may not get much faith. But it helps when you hear it again and again and again. Repetition makes a lot of difference. Politicians know it. Advertisers know it. How come the people of God don't understand it when it comes to the scripture? You hear it one time. But if you hear it again and again and again, I'm telling you, it's going to help you to really believe it and really get it down inside of you where it'll take root and grow in your life. I'm telling you, most people, they don't really believe much the first time they hear it. And I want to address this tonight. There's a false teaching that says that God gives you all the faith that you're ever going to have. Now, he's just decided, well, this one can have faith, but oh, I'm sorry, you can't. And that false teaching condemns people to hell because, well, God didn't give you the faith for salvation, so you're going to hell, sorry, but hey, if you got it, well, good for you. Well, you don't have faith to be healed because God didn't give it to you, so you can never be healed. I'm sorry. You don't have faith to be delivered. God didn't give it to you, so you can't. I'm telling you, faith is available to us. It's up to us to believe. And when we hear the word, faith comes by hearing. How does it come? Well, God just zaps some people with faith and they have it, and other poor souls, they don't. We're sorry. No, he gives a measure of faith to every man. And oh, when we fill our hearts with the word of God, I'm telling you, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But people have to hear the word to believe. The word of God has a power in it to change your life. Now, 1 Peter 1:23, I really like this verse. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. How'd you get born again? Incorruptible seed, the word of God that lives and abides forever. Absolutely will transform your life. You see, it has the power in it to save you from the sinful human condition, make you a new creation in Christ. It also has the power in it to save you from sin, sickness, hopelessness, to restore your relationship with God, to make you whole. I'm telling you, the word has the power in it to radically change you. Romans 12:2, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You see, when you renew your mind, it will transform your life. That's power. How do you do that? With the word of God. Now, I want to explain something. Some people are a little bit confused about this, and so I want to explain. When you're born again, your spirit is born of God. But you can still have most of the same old thought patterns and attitudes that you had before you got born again. You got to renew your mind. And you see, a lot of people struggle with this because they think that when they get born again, like God's just going to somehow open up their skull, take out their brain, and give them a nice clean one that only thinks good thoughts, doesn't think bad, you know, doesn't think vengeful thoughts, doesn't think greedy thoughts anymore, doesn't think lustful thoughts anymore. No, you're going to have to renew your mind. But the Word of God has the power in it to do that. And it says it transforms your life. See, that's power. That's real power that we need in our life every day. The power of the Word of God. And we read earlier, Hebrews 4:12, that it divides between soul and spirit. And you see, you need to understand that your soul and spirit are not the same thing. Otherwise, how does the Word of God divide between soul and spirit? Your spirit is that part that is born of God. It's born of Him. It's a holy thing. But your old soul, the Bible calls it, in the Greek, it's psuche. It's where we get our word psyche or psychology. Psuche. It's your mind, will, and emotions. And it's not the same as your spirit. And it needs to be renewed. It needs the Word of God. James 1:21 says, "Receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls." He didn't write this to lost people so they could get born again. He wrote this to brothers. He wrote this so that we would understand that we need the Word of God to make our soul whole. That mind, will, and emotions. It will. Listen, the word save, that doesn't mean get to go to heaven. The word save means to heal, to make whole, to restore, to deliver. That can be translated in any of those ways. And I want you to understand that's what needs to happen in our mind, in our will, in our emotions. And the Word of God has the power in it to do that. Amazing. Amazing that Christians don't avail themselves more of the power of the Word of God, especially in a generation and a country where we have so much of the Word that we can, man, we can saturate ourselves in it every day, all day long. But maybe we take it for granted because we have so much of it. I know that throughout history there have been many times when they just got a little bit of scripture and people would memorize it and just go over and over and over and over that one chapter that they might have. Man, we have it and we could, but do we? Oh, how we need that power of the Word of God in our life every day. So how do we get the power of the Word in our lives? I'm just going to give you five simple things tonight. We're going to make it, by the way. I got 16 minutes, and I'm flying, so here we go. Number one, you got to receive it. You know what? We talked about this a lot when a few weeks back when we had the series on the heart and how the seed of the Word of God goes out, but sometimes it just lays on a hard path, on a hard heart, and it never gets received. You see, it's so important that we not only hear it, but we get it inside of us. That being said, I want to get this over. You got to hear it to receive it. And the more you hear it, the more opportunity you have to get it inside to really receive it. Give yourself a lot of opportunity, whether it's listening to preaching and teaching or reading the scripture for yourself, meditating it, going over it and over it yourself. By the way, it's a really powerful thing when you read it out loud or you quote it out loud, because then not only are you reading it and you're going over it in your mind, but you're speaking it out of your mouth and you're hearing it back with your own ears. I'm telling you, that's a powerful thing. But whatever you do, give yourself a lot of opportunity. If you want more power to live for God, you want God's power in your life, listen, We've already made that really clear in the word tonight that his word is powerful. So if you want more power in your life, then give yourself more opportunity to get the word of God inside of you. Now that being said, it's not just hearing with the natural ear, because we all know that you can hear the Bible and yet reject it. No, it takes us really receiving it. You got to take it inside. You got to get it down inside of you. Usually, when people don't receive the word, there's some reason, there's some kind of problem, something has hardened their heart. Many times it's religious traditions and teachings. Jesus said to the religious people, Mark 7:13, you make the word of God of no effect through your tradition, which you've handed down. See, they wouldn't receive the word because of their tradition. When people have been taught that God's word is not true or only partially true, I'm telling you, it renders it powerless in their life until they choose the word of God over those teachings and traditions. You got to choose the word. I'm just telling you, the only way to really get it inside of you is you got to decide that you believe the word and you're not going to listen to the teachings of men that don't line up with the word. Sometimes it's not just religious teaching. Sometimes it's just the attitudes of culture, you know. I mean, there are people who don't believe in God. There's people that think that the Bible is just stories and fable. There's people that don't have faith for anything they can't see. I'll believe it when I see it. And you know what? We could just make a long list of all kinds of hindrances and things that make it hard for people to receive God's word. But I'm just telling you, if you're going to have the power of God's word at work in your life, the first thing you have to do is you have to receive it. I want to remind you of this verse again, James 1:21. Receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. Receive with meekness. Now that meekness, it speaks of humility. It speaks of teachableness. And you know what? There's the biggest hindrance in people being able to receive is when they come with pride. They already know everything. I'll never forget at a high school reunion about 20 years ago, one of my classmates was telling me, he says, yeah, I was going to this church and, you know, I went to this class and I just thought it was a big joke that somebody was going to stand up there and teach me something about God. And I thought, how sad. He can't learn anything because of his pride. But that's the biggest hindrance that keeps people from really being able to receive the word. We got to come with meekness and receive the implanted word. Number two is you got to believe it. Now, These kind of all flow together. Because see, when you really receive it, it just becomes a natural thing to believe it. But you got to decide that you're going to believe the word of God more than what you see. Hebrews 11:1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. Not seen. You got to decide that you believe God's word more than the circumstances. Whatever it is you're dealing with, you got to decide to believe him who cannot lie. Mark 13:31, Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. See, his words are eternal. So you can count on them. You can know that they are true. Abraham is always a great example to us of faith. Romans 4:19 through 21, it says, not being weak in faith. Anybody weak in faith? We're talking about how you can become strong in faith. It's the word of God. He did not consider his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old, and nor the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. Do you believe that God is able to perform his word? You see, when you receive the word, you got to make a decision. I actually believe it is a decision. In fact, I think it's very clear in the scripture when Jesus says, have faith in God. Excuse me for getting loud for just a minute. Amen. But I'm telling you, it is an absolute false teaching when people act like faith is some feeling or some weird thing that just comes over you. Jesus can't command you to have a weird feeling. He can't command some weird thing to just sweep over you and all of a sudden you have faith. No, he commands us to do something that we can make a decision to do. Amen. Have faith in God, he said. And so you can decide to believe. You decide to believe what God said. He cannot lie. His word is true. He's able to perform it. So like Abraham, I don't care what it looks like. Abraham wouldn't consider that his body was as good as dead or the deadness of Sarah's womb, but he was strong in faith. He believed that God would perform what he had promised to him. And so we have to believe God's word for it to have power in our life. Number three, you got to think it. You got to receive it, you got to believe it, and you got to think it. You got to change the way you think. Renew your mind with the word of God. We read that in Romans 12, 2. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. See, you got to change the way you think if you're really going to see God's power, his power, the power of his word work in you. Now, if you show me somebody with a messed up life, I'll show you somebody with messed up thinking. 100% of the time. Used to do this little thing with the youth when I was a youth pastor. Y'all just let me go there, all right? Here we go. I don't know what you've been thinking, but you got to get rid of your stinking thinking. If you keep on thinking what you always thought, you'll keep on getting what you always got. And there it is. But I'm telling you, you can't just think nothing. Although I've met some people that I thought maybe were close, right? So how do you change the way you think? You use the word of God. You just start focusing on God's word and you keep going back to it. And I'm just telling you that old religious idea that, yeah, I've heard that before. A little dab will do you. I know. Well, you don't know it enough, evidently, because when you really know, it will change your life. You got to think it. Proverbs 23:7 says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. If you think about all the things that others have that you don't, it's going to make you envious and covetous. Ephesians 4:22-24. Put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful desires. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. The NIV says the attitude of your mind. And put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holy. We put off the old man in verse 22. We put on the new man in verse 24. But right there in the middle in verse 23 is a real key that you have to be made new in the attitude of your mind. You can't think the same old way and become that new man that God wants you to be. You got to change the way you think. If you want to change the way you think, sometimes you got to change some of the input. You know what's on your computer? What's been put on it? And to a great degree, what's on your mind is what you've put in there. Now, we all hear things, and maybe we see things, and stuff comes up that, you know what, we just need to not listen to or not receive or not let get down inside of us. But to the best of our ability, we ought to be putting in good things through the eye gate and the ear gate. As much as we can, we're putting the word of God in because it helps us. Jesus said, Luke 6:45, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. See, it matters what you're treasuring up in your heart, because whatever's in there in abundance is what's going to come out in your life. Psalms 1:1-3. It's too many scriptures tonight, isn't it? Nope. I'm just going to keep going, all right? Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law, he meditates day and night. He thinks about it. Meditate. It means that he goes over it and over it and over it. He didn't read it one time. He didn't hear it one time. No, he mentally digests it. He goes over it and over it and over it. He meditates in it, well, you know, once a week. No, day and night. He's thinking about it, going over the word and over the word and over the word. Blessed is the man. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. I'm telling you, that's power. And how did that happen? He just keeps thinking about it over and over and over. And if you want the power of the Word of God in your life, then you need to start thinking it just over and over and over. Jesus said in John 8:31 and 32, if you continue in my word, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. See, he said if you abide in it, stay in it, continue in it. One more time. Not a little dab will do you. As much as you can get, you stay in it. It's got power in it. It's alive and powerful. And you get it down inside of you. And he said, you're going to know the truth, and the truth will make you free. I hear that phrase, the truth will make you free. I hear it even spouted off in movies and secular TV shows. They have no idea what it means. It's not just the truth like any truth. It's talking about the truth of God's word. You know the truth. And I'm telling you, it has the power in it to make you free. Repetition over and over and over, staying in it. And if you're struggling in a particular area, listen, you need God's power in a certain area of your life, then you get a hold of the word and you just go over it and over it and over it until it just becomes a part of you. You gotta think it. Number four, you gotta speak it. If you're speaking contrary to God's word, then your mouth is telling on you. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. 2 Corinthians 4:13, we also believe and therefore we speak. See, whatever's in the heart, it's going to come out. And I'm telling you, if you really believe it, then the next natural thing is that you're gonna think it and you're going to speak it. You say what God's word says. It's important for it to come out of your mouth. Have you ever heard somebody that told a lie and they just kept telling it until they believed it? We're not telling a lie. We're speaking God's word. But what if we just kept speaking it and we started really believing it? Well, you know what happens next? Then we start acting on it, and that's the last one. If you do the first four, this one's easy. See, we say, oh, you got to act on it. That's the hard part. No, it's not hard if you receive it and you believe it. And you think on it, and you speak it, then you'll act on it. When did the power flow? When Jesus turned the water into wine. Mary told the servant, she said, whatever he says to you, do it. And guess what? When they did what he said, the water turned to wine. When did Peter have the great catch of fish? Jesus said, let down the nets. Peter said, Lord, we toiled all night. Listen, but at your word, it just did what Jesus said. And I'm telling you, when we put the word into practice in our life, when we just do what God says to do, I say it a lot, but I'm going to say it again tonight. The reason that people don't tithe, it's not because they don't believe that we have to do that. No, the reason people don't tithe, it's not because they I don't believe we have to do that. No, it's because you don't believe the promise. Because if you believe the promise, whether you think you have to or not, if you believe the promise that he says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be food in my house, and try me now in this, says the Lord, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. If they believe the promise, they do it. It's as simple as that. It's not a matter of whether or not you think you have to. But if you believe it, you act on it. And I'm just telling you, that's when that power flows, is when you act on it. Someone's upset with you. Soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. You're going through a difficult time. Isaiah 43, 1 and 2. You got it right, Leslie. Fear not. I've redeemed you. I've called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. Through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, neither shall flames scorch you. When you feel weak, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. When you don't know what to do, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. When someone's talking bad about you, like a flitting sparrow, like a flying swallow, so a curse without cause shall not alight. When you're under attack, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, says the Lord. When you have a need, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. When you need wisdom, if you lack wisdom, ask of God, who gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not, or doesn't hold back, but gives without reproach. I'm just telling you, there's a word for every situation. The power of God, listen, is available to us if we'll just take hold of his word and we'll receive it and we'll believe it and we'll start thinking it and we'll start speaking it and then we act on it. I'm telling you, there's power there. It's available to you. If you want more power in your Christian life, word of God. Amen. Well, stand with me. We're going to pray. Let you be dismissed. Father, we just thank you for the word. May we say from the heart with the psalmist, oh, how I love your word. It is my meditation all the day. Lord, help us to learn, to grow. Lord, to walk in all that you have for us. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord, bless you.